Let us come before God with prayer. Most holy friend, bless all who enter this house of praise with hearts and minds tuned to your love. May our time of worship kindle new faith or deepen old faith and reinforce our capacity to express ourselves with deeds of justice, kindness, peace, and love. Bless our reflections upon your word and help us carry your light, life, and love out into the world. Amen. Once upon a time, there was a man having a bad day. On the first bitterly cold day of winter, his furnace failed. The pipes froze in his house. The engine block on his car cracked. The TV antenna fell off the roof. A tree crashed into the garage, and everyone in his family came down with the flu. Then the man's snowblower broke, and to top things off, he blew his back out shoveling snow. And if worse couldn't be worse, well, the dog ran away. Of course, his search failed, but eventually, once the pump sauntered home, he decided he was going to make a change. He was going to escape. He was going to fly south to get away. So then, of course, he got marooned at the airport in a blizzard for 3 days. And the man complained to God, "Why are you doing this to me? I don't deserve this." And God came to him disguised as a pierced, tattooed teen, sitting next to him, and said, "What's your problem, dude? You've got a nice home, you drive a nice car, your garage and antenna are insured, you've got a wonderful family, even if they're hard to live with at times, and your dog came home. You've had 3 peaceful days here at the airport with no demands or interruptions. Things could be a whole lot worse, so lighten up." Today we're reflecting on the Beatitudes, that strange list of blessings that Jesus pronounces. Blessed are you, happy are you, if you are poor. Congratulations, you've made it, if you're mourning. Wonderful news for you. Fortunate are you if you are meek. Many years earlier, Moses went up the mountain and returned with the 10 commandments, laws to live by. And Jesus goes up the mountain, and as the new Moses, he delivers a revolutionary manifesto, moving from Moses' external laws that required obedience to teachings about how we should think and feel. So Jesus moved things from outward observances to inward motives and intentions. Many consider the Beatitudes the heart of Jesus' teaching, and with them, he set the bar higher. Earlier, we sang the question of Micah, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God?" Sounds easy enough, doesn't it? Be just, kind, humble. It would be easy, too, if it weren't for that tiny 3-letter word that causes us so much trouble and grief. E-G-O. Ego. And it doesn't have to be over large matters, either. One day I got out of my car to go into the grocery store, and once again, I demonstrated to the whole world how clumsy I am. My foot hit some ice, and I made a swan dive right into the slush. And if that weren't bad enough, when I was trying to get up, I was almost there, and I lost my footing again and went down for a second slide. Finally, a man with a cane came to help me up. I had experienced one of those big fears of many human beings, the fear of appearing foolish, and I felt shame. There we go. When adults suffer a fall, our first thought isn't whether we've broken bones or how much physical damage we might have done. Instead, our first response is usually embarrassment. It can be painful, humiliating, and embarrassing to appear foolish or ridiculous, and most of us either try to turn that to our advantage by becoming comedians, or we avoid all eye contact. And part of the issue is that we can feel we're not enough as we are. We want to be more. We want to impress people. We like it when we can be assured that we've done the most or been the best. Somehow we have this hope that by being better, we will win favor with other people and ultimately with God. But God's ways are different. In 1 Corinthians, Paul reminds us that God made foolish the wisdom of the world. God's ways are different than ours, even opposite, turning the world upside down. We have many ways of getting what we want out of life. Some rely on reason and argument. Others rely more on their physical strength. Some rely on their goodness and their niceness. Others have this knack for playing the victim and making everyone feel sorry for them. And then others rely on their charm or buy their way. The world around us teaches, blessed are the strong, the shrewd, those who stand up for their rights, those who refuse to be taken advantage of, those who always look out for slights, those who strike it rich and make a success of their lives, especially those who work hard. I've shared with you before that one of my favorite authors is a Houston researcher named Brené Brown, and she studies human connectedness, vulnerability, and shame. And Brené argues that to be connected to others and God is what gives our lives meaning and purpose. But every once in a while, something totally unravels life, and it blocks our sense of connection, leaving us in shame. And she reminds us that shame is that fear that I won't be worthy of connecting with others. And Brené concludes that shame is universal. Everyone has it. Nobody wants to talk about it. And the less one talks about it, the more you have. Her research has shown that the only way to work through shame is to embrace our vulnerability. Shame comes from a sense of failure, rooted in fear that we're not enough, but it's also the birthplace of joy, creativity, belonging, and love. Her research echoes the Beatitudes that it's only when we have the courage to accept our imperfections and be vulnerable that God can get close to us. The world teaches that it's shameful to be weak and powerless. No one likes to be perceived as stupid or weak, naive or pathetic. And into this world, Jesus speaks, saying that God values the humble, the poor, the underprivileged, people on the edges of society, those who are not only poor but crushed, those who are utterly empty as a result of what life has done to them, those who are cowering and cringing, those who feel utterly powerless. We are the meek and poor in spirit whenever we reach the bottom of the pit and we have nowhere to go. When life is dark and murky and very lonely, that's when Jesus says that we are the most blessed. Now let's face it, no one in their right mind is going to choose to be at the end of their rope or disillusioned or spent or exhausted. But that's exactly when we reach those places of despair, when we feel lacking, when our defenses are shattered. It's when we're completely humbled, then all we are left with is to trust in God. The word humility comes from the word humus, which means the earth, the place where all living plants begin. So living with humility means returning to the rich, fertile soil, completely becoming dependent on God for the warmth, security, and nourishment. There's a little comfort in weakness, humility, and vulnerability. Yet Jesus was bold enough to stand up on a hillside and herald a truly radical message. To the people the world defines as empty and wanting, unsteady and hurting, to the marginalized people, Jesus says, I'm on your side. God blesses you. God is here for you. The God that Jesus came to lead us to offers forgiveness, salvation, and grace. God in Jesus offers opportunities for new life, for right relations, for reconciliation and love, always and ultimately love. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, be perfect. Nowhere does it say, get it together or smarten up. What does God require of you? Do justice, show love and kindness, walk humbly with God. That's it. That's all. And the rest is up to God. Amen.